Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Good morning. Good Saturday morning to you. We welcome you this morning to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning Sunday school. My name is Charles State, and I'm going to be your teacher for these next so many minutes. And like the song says, this is the day that the Lord have made, and whatever you do, don't you let anything take away your joy. You know, we're in the book of Philippians, and that's Paul's joy book. Just as I was listening to that song, like I tell you all the time, I really like that song because it's got some phrases in there, and they're not just phrases. It really puts you on point. And today it was that one that this is the day that the Lord has made. And as we go through Philippians, well, let's pray first. Lord God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, we thank you most of all, more than anything else, that you provided a way for us to come to spend eternity with thee. And not just provided a way for us to spend eternity with thee, Father, you gave us a guide that we can go through this life. And as we go through this life, we'll be able to look into your word and see that everything you said you do, you would do, you've done it. But Father, we thank you once again more than anything for Jesus, who stepped down, took off his royal robes, came down from heaven to walk in our shoes so he would understand just what it is that we were going through. Not that he didn't know, but he wanted to experience it himself, Father, because we know that the only way you can really, really get to know somebody, and he was the ultimate example, like I said, but the only way you can really, really get to know what somebody else is going through if you walk in their shoes. So, Father, we just ask right now that you move me out of the way completely, because it's not about me, Father. It's all about you. But with you, it's been all about us. And help us to get what it is you mean for us to have this morning out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you know me, I always like to go back. Like I said, this is Paul's joy letter. And as I've been going through this book, I've come to see all the different things that Paul had to be joyful about. Even though he was experiencing, right now he's on house arrest, but even though all through his time with Christ, he's been beat, he's been left hungry, he's been shipwrecked, He's been on a shipwreck, even out in the middle of the ocean, floating on a piece of board because the ship all tore up and he didn't have anything else to hold you but. He's been jailed, locked up in prison. Right now he's on house arrest. But when he was in jail, he was just sitting with stocks locked to his feet. So he's experienced everything terrible that a man could possibly experience. But here he's writing about joy. Here he's talked about no matter what went on, I'm still joyful in the Lord. Now, if we read, we're in chapter 3, and we're going to read in verse 10. We're going to start there. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Verse 11 says, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now, when Paul was talking about this, he was saying, he wasn't so much saying that he wanted to die and then be raised from the dead with Christ. Because we all know that as believers, we would never see death. We would be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But what Paul was saying here was that when he was going through hard times, and he's not talking about rising from the dead when Jesus comes back, like I just said. He's talking about experiencing the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And in this life, and we can experience that ourselves too. Because see, Jesus has already risen. He's already seated on the right hand of the Father. So like I said a few minutes ago, we won't ever see death. But when Jesus went back, all power was restored to him. God raised Jesus from the dead, but then he said, son, here you go. It's all yours. And that's the Jesus that we serve right now. We have access to that power while we're here. And that's what Paul wanted. That's what Paul was saying. Okay, I want to experience the resurrection from the dead. I want to experience the same thing that Christ went through. But what I really want is that power. And not to use it in a negative sense, but he just knew that power was a power where he could operate. He desired, you ever heard about an outside of the box experience? Paul wanted to come out of that box, and we all have a box that we sometimes place ourselves in, and we just navigate in that box. And Paul wanted to be outside of the box. See, he knew, like I said, he knew that power existed, and it was only found in Christ. And as believers, we have to learn that, I just got to keep it plain. We have to learn that there is really nothing at all that can take us from where we are with Christ right now. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, access to that power. Because he'll give it to you. He will. You know, the word tells us if we draw near to the Lord, he'll draw near to us. But we have access, we have access to power like we've never experienced before, that we don't even know about in this world. I really can't think of a word that, because there is no word that could talk about the power that Jesus has. He rose from the dead. The Father raised him from the dead, but he was restored back to where he was before he got here, and all power was given unto him. And once again, we have access to that power. So if there's anything that's holding you back right now, anything that you think you can't do, or anything you think is an obstacle, or anything that you think, remember Paul. Because Paul knew, and that's what we're about to get into now. Verse Verse 12 says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. You know, when I was reading that, it took me for a few, I kept going over that part for, where Christ Jesus first possessed me. Christ Jesus first possessed me. Lord, I don't know what that means. You got to let me know what that means. Jesus came down from heaven to die for us so that we might have eternity. But he also didn't just die for us. He wanted us to be part of his family. He did it so that we would be able, so that we would be able as people to experience his love, his kindness, all the good things that go with him, but to let us know that, like Ephesians tells us, that we have been adopted into his family and we have all the rights of everything that goes with the adoption. You know, Paul gave up everything, and he did, family, friends, everything, just to come to know Christ, and to not just know Christ, but to be one with Christ. That was the expression I've been looking for. Thank you, Jesus. Because when you become one with Christ, you really just want to walk in his shoes, like I talked about a few minutes ago. And Paul said that his goal was to be like Christ and to be all Christ had in mind for him. This took all of Paul's energies. And see, that's what he's encouraging the people in Philippi to be. You know, we have to learn to step away from those things that we think are important and just make our sole focus, what Christ says is important. See, he's talking to these people because all they had was what the letter that he was writing, and this is a letter. But we have the written word, and when it comes down to it, we have a manual that'll take us through everyday life. They didn't have that. We're blessed that we do. But at the same time, when Paul talks about knowing Christ, you know, I don't know which, if you have ever been an athlete or ever trained for anything or ever prepared to, I just got to use athletics because I was in athletics myself. But in order to get to the game, you have to practice. You have to practice. You have to work hard. You have to lift weights. You have to strain. You have to run. You have to go through some things in order to do the best you could possibly be. It doesn't just come naturally. And even if it does, you still, if it does come naturally, you still, in order to be the best that you can possibly be, because see, you have other people too that's trying to be the best. But if you want to be the best you can possibly be, you just have to keep on working, keep on working, keep on working. And if you keep on working, eventually you get an athletic game. You might win that one game, but then the next game comes. So you have to prepare again for the next game. And what Paul is talking about when he says, I don't mean, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Paul just simply is not satisfied where he is right now. And he's not happy with just sitting back and saying, I went as far as I can. I'm not going to go any farther. I'm good with this. Because see, there was only one perfect person that walked this earth. That was Jesus Christ. But in Christ, we can just keep moving. Just keep it moving. That's the only thing I could think of to say. And Paul told those people, keep it moving. Keep it moving in the direction. Because, see, we know the ultimate goal, the ultimate thing that we're pressing for is to be heaven-bound and to stand in front of Christ and to receive listen to him tell us, good job. Good job. But here, in this life, you have to just keep on pushing. So whatever it is right now that might be hindering you, it might be holding you back, just keep on, put a little more weight on the bar. And just keep pressing toward that goal. Because, see, if you keep on pressing, you'll get there. It goes on to read as follows. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You ever tried to walk forward looking backwards? It don't work. It don't work at all. Now, we all have a past. But if you dwell in the past, you stay in the past. But if you say to yourself, well, forget the past because that's behind me. And like Paul is saying, I'm going to press on to reach the end of the race in verse 14 and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Jesus is calling us. You know, as believers, we have to just, like I said, we all have a past. We all have something that we did, but you have to just be single-mindedly strong. All that's behind you right now. And the focus should be whatever it is Jesus wants us to do or wants you to do, whatever the word says to do. Looking forward at all times, like Paul said, pressing on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Like I said, we've all done things that we're ashamed of. And we sometimes live in the tension of what we should have been or what we should have done or what we might have wanted to be. Don't dwell on your past. Grow in the knowledge of God by steadily concentrating on your relationship with him. See, Paul is encouraging these people. He really is. He's trying his best to get them to just stay on the page that they have. And like I'm going to just repeat it again. We have the word in front of us. They didn't have a written word. All they had was what Paul was writing right now. And it took a while for those letters to get there. So I really admire those folks because they just worked with the little bit that they had. We have access to all kind of technology and all kind of books and everything that will tell us about Christ. More so, we have access to God's written word in front of us. So don't let anything stop you from getting into the word. Don't let anything hinder you from your self-devotion. Don't let anything take you away from what's important. And the only thing that's really important in this life is what you do for Christ. Let's move on. Verse 15, that all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree at some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. 16 says, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. If you've been moving, Paul tells them, if you've been moving through this race, if you've been going through this game, if you've been doing what you do, keep pushing. And that's what he's telling them right now. Just keep pushing. Keep on going. Keep on going. See, you can never get enough of Christ. Nobody, I don't care how big they are or whatever they say, you'll never know everything that's in this Bible. And if you run across somebody that tells you that they know everything that's in this Bible from cover to cover, they lie. Because if you sit down and read your word, I don't know about you, but every time I read God's word, I get see something different. See, we like to think of ourselves as being super smart sometimes, but we're not really that smart. Only God is. Only Jesus Christ is. And the word tells us that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. But you got to always just remind yourself that it's an experience that we go through with Christ. It's a wonderful experience when we're walking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you as you read his word that you never thought that you'd see before. And like I said, and I'm going to say it again, I'm repeating myself a lot today, but I got to say this again. And you'll never really ever get everything. But you'll get them nuggets. You'll get them nuggets. Okay, verse 17. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. 18 says, for I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross. 19, we're going to keep reading. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to talk about that for a minute. They only think about this life here on earth. Christian, you can't be on both sides of the fence. You got to be either running with Christ or you're running with self. Paul had forsaken, and he's telling them, you got to give self up completely. You got to just let self go. Because, see, the whole thing, he talked about perfection, but, you know, we have to mature as Christians. I think it's in Timothy when it talks about that we no longer own milk, that we have to get into the meat of the word. And that takes study. That takes time. That takes sitting down every day, setting aside a certain amount of time every day and getting to the word of God. See, Paul is now in his latter years. He's getting toward the end of his missionary journey. But he has experienced through all this time a steady, constant walk with Jesus Christ. You know, it started back in Acts when Jesus knocked him off the horse. But he has developed a relationship with Christ, not ever forgetting who he is. See, Christ is God. But at the same time, just trying to absorb everything he possibly could. Everything that he could possibly soak up. And see, that's one thing that we have to believe, which he's telling we, you know, we can always make excuses that we still have so much to learn. But the instruction for us is to live up to what we already know. To live up to what we already know. See, if you're young in the faith, just like when you study your books, if you're young in the faith, the more study that you do, the more that you'll attain. But if you stay stuck and if you eliminate study, you're not going to grow. And maturity is the word that I'm thinking about. We have to mature as believers. You know, we just can't stay on milk. We have to mature. And it's not easy. But if you're consistent with wanting to know what it is, that desire to know what it is, the something inside of you, which is the Holy Spirit that says, come on, let's keep on. Here, and like I said, here when Paul talked about with tears in his eyes, those who conduct shows they are real enemies of God. These, you know, there were people in their time, I'm sure, that was putting on that good face, but they were just faking it till they make it. That's the only thing I could think of to say. They're headed for this, verse 19, they're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetites. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about life here on earth. Like I said, this isn't all that there is. There's more to it than this. Verse 20. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. That right there. Remember how we talked about that Jesus had all power? That verse right there says, when he would take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power which he will bring everything. See, let you in on a secret, like I said before. Jesus has all power. Jesus is the one that went to the cross for you. Jesus is the one that was raised from the dead. Nobody else has ever been raised from the dead. But Jesus has all power. And this same Jesus is the one that in John chapter 17, I think about it, maybe, but in the book of John, when he talked about us, it's his friends. So he's not just, he is God all by himself. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But he's also your friend. And he has all power. And when he has all power, and that means if he has all power and he's your friend, that you have access to all power. But what you got to do is separate yourself. I might have said it, I'm going to say it again, from the things of this world and start just living in the other world. See, we don't have to wait to go to heaven, to be in heaven. We can have heaven right here. But it has to be through Jesus Christ. That power exists. Jesus is alive and well. That power exists now. And all you have to do is just access that power. How do you access that power? By hanging out close with him, by studying his word, by doing all those things that he tells you to do. The word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things. See, we get caught up in all the things of this world, but you can't have a double life. You got to have a single life, and you got to be singly focused, just like an athlete, on getting to the end of the game and attaining the prize. You see. Philippians 4, verse 1 says this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. I love you and long to see you, dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I received for my work. Paul referred to these people as being his joy. And Paul had every reason in the world to toot his own horn. But just knowing, that the church in Philippi was doing exactly what he had taught them to do. Remember it talked about earlier, Paul wrote about earlier, when we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. It brought him great joy just knowing that they were doing what he had taught them to do. He even referred to himself as being a good example. And when you see somebody or hear somebody doing something that you taught them to do, and you know they're doing it, that makes you feel good. That makes you feel good. That's the only way I can think of to put it. And Paul right now had just said, for you are my joy. He told them to stay true to the Lord. He called them his brothers and sisters. He didn't call them his children. He said, stay true to the Lord, my brothers and sisters, because we all one unto Christ. We're God's children. And he told them, I love you, and I long to see you, my dear friends, for you are my joy and the crown I receive for my work. I got to say this, whatever you do here, you're going to be rewarded for. Whatever you do in this life, you're going to be rewarded for it. So make it your business. Make it your ultimate goal. Forget those things that are behind us. And pressing on to what it is that God has for us. When we finish this life, we can run out of time. Next week, we're going to get more into chapter 4. We're going to try to wrap this thing up next week. I don't know how far we'll get. But at the same time, that's about it for today. So let's pray ourselves out of here. Lord God, our Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to look into your word. Lord, I got to be honest with you. As we've been going through this book of Philippians, this really has an effect on my life. Father, we have absolutely nothing to complain about. We have absolutely nothing at all because, see, you got us. We just have to always remember that you got us no matter what. Father, we also have a responsibility. And the responsibility is to learn everything that we possibly can while we're here about you that you said do. So, Father, I pray right now that each and every one of us get into your word. Do we not just get into your word, do we get into it so deep, Father, that you help us to understand so that we can tell somebody else. Because, Lord, like I said, we got nothing at all to complain about. We good. And we thank you for making the way so we could be good. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for that great lesson, great reward. I'm ready for that. The book of joy, and don't let no one steal your joy. Yeah, that was a good lesson. Just some good old home house talk, you know, things that we talk about in the home. He said, this life has to keep on pushing because the Bible is a manual that takes us through everyday life. We have to keep on pushing, pressing forward. So, thank you. Great news. So, thank you, and we appreciate you. Have a good day. Can't wait to see you on next Saturday in church school.
Goodbye, Kathy. I'm out. All right.
All love right. You. Hey, love
Bye.
You back. All right. Get your tea, your coffee, and your trumpet. And after this next lecture, we're going to find our morning worship service. See you on the other side.
Just love we got would grow. You took me to heights I didn't. Never long. All right. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Block Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. And as always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministry, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And you know, it's the fifth Saturday, and it is youth weekend. So on the fifth Saturday, we acknowledge our youth and allow them to the opportunity to serve and participate in our morning worship service. And we have this morning to do scripture and prayer is our very own Queen Nedra Gaston. Good morning, Nedra.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning.
You are very much welcome.
All right. Go for it, girl.
Good morning, Block Talk listeners. I'm Nedra Gaston, and I will be reading 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family did not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you the much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in the service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ned. You know you are so important to us as one of our youth. And we appreciate you for this morning. We just thank you and have the best day ever.
You're welcome, and you too.
Well, thank you. All right. That's our little queen, Nedra Gaston. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. You know, I love it how the Lord has filled the earth with songs that, you know, it's kind of hard to believe that God loves us because, you know, the us we show other people, everybody should love that us, right? But the us that God knows, amen, and he still loves us 100%. He'll never stop. And even when we screw it all up, guess what he'll do? Show us the way out. Lord, have mercy. And guess what? When we're hard-headed, guess what? He'll keep trying. He won't stop. He's trying to turn us into who we're going to be forever. And sometimes the devil come around and try to convince us that somehow we've been holding God up. We can't let God down because we ain't holding him up. Oh, Lord have mercy. He's holding us up. I'm just trying to tell you there is absolutely no greater love in existence than the love of God.
Dear Father, yeah, I know you see me. I cannot hide, you know what I have done. Yet you decided to love me anyway. No, I cannot lie, how do you see beyond my flaws? No, I don't know why you would save somebody like me.
What kind of love is this
that would claim a filthy rag?
What kind of love is this,
yeah, that can still see the good when it's all bad?
What kind of love is this
that would lay down his life just for me? None great. None greater, none greater. No, there is no greater love.
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 You took my case, here to say that I could not pay.
I know I
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been truly moved and encouraged. You always take us there, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own youth minister-to-be, Sarah Tate McClendon, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Minister Sarah Tate McClendon. Lord, amen.
Hide in your word and know it's true. Stand still till you tell me to move. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. Help me to wait for you to see me through. Hide in your word and know it's true. Stand still and wait until I hear from you. Lord, help me to wait on you. Patiently. Continue praising you while I wait. Oh, wait. Help me to wait on. Help me to wait on you. I'm gonna wait until I hear from you. I'm waiting for you to see me through. Hiding your word, you know it's true. Stand still, see, tell me to move. I'm going to wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus, for you to see me through. Oh, I'm hiding your word and know it's true. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord, help me to wait on you patiently. Praising you, oh, while I wait until I hear from you. Help me, Jesus, for you to see me through. Oh, hide in your word and know it's true. Oh, Lord, I need you. I'll wait until I hear from you. Somebody may need to wait for God to tell you what to do.
Wait on,
trust to the way and wait on,
wait on, wait on. Amen. Let's all bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be able to just speak your name, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to you at this time and not have any distractions and be focused, Lord. And thank you for the ability to just be able to collaborate with people when we can, Lord, isolate when we need to, Lord, and give us the ability to discern your will, Lord, just for us. We come to you thanking you again for this day, thanking you for waking us up and keeping us safe. Thank you for meeting all of our needs. Thank you for everything that you do for us. Lord, we know that we aren't perfect and we need your forgiveness. So please forgive us at this time for all of the sins that we've committed. Lord, give us direction in our lives. We ask for a sound mind so that we have a clear vision for what you want us to do for you. God, you know your word frontwards and backwards. So allow us to learn it that way as well. In Proverbs 20, chapter 22, verse 6, it starts off saying children on the way they should go, and even when they are old, that they won't turn from it, Lord. And thank you for allowing us to be those children for you, some of us, Lord. And for those that aren't grew up in the church, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to find you deep within, Lord, and be able to be resilient against the ways of the world, Lord. We pray that they will obey you, because if they do this, it will give us a solid foundation. God, you also know that Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Father, we need to hear and learn your word today. We thank you for your good biblical teachers who preach messages about Christ so that we can be faith followers. Although we might be young, some of us, we know that we need to be able to reach others through the message of your word. So help us to continue to be confident, Lord, and courageous, Lord, and to remain with our zeal, Lord, in you. Oh, Lord, as recorded in Acts chapter 8, verses 31, the Ethiopian asked how he could understand your word unless someone explains it to him. So he invited Philip to sit with him, and he learned. We see in this story just how important it is for us to listen to our parents. We also need to watch the example they set. So we pray for the adults right now, Lord, also. God, please bless the leaders so that they make the right decisions concerning our children's education and the safety for them around the world. Let them also be mindful of your warning signs if they mistreat children. Lord, in Matthew chapter 18, verses 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in you, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large milestone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Lord, we pray that this will not be necessary and that the adults will just turn away from their wicked ways and turn to you. And Lord, we know above all you can protect us, whether we are at home, at school, on the bus, at work, walking here to there. You are everywhere, and we are completely grateful. Please continue to wrap your arms of love around us. Thank you, Lord. For everything that you provided. We praise you with our heart, soul, and mind. We lift you up and magnify your name, and our hearts are filled with praise. And always we acknowledge you and we respect you with everything in our being. In Jesus' name, amen.
My life is not my own. Give myself to you. Yes. I want to say thank you. Thank you, Queen Sarah McClendon, for praying and making our requests known to God. We truly appreciate you. Okay? I'd like to acknowledge the youth all over this beautiful world just to let you know that you are important and we need you. Okay, we do need you. You are important. All right. So far, we're having a great time this morning. With more to come, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is our beautiful spirited Queen Sister Minister Janine Folks. Prepare to receive Queen Minister Janine Folks coming her own way with a blessed word from the Lord. Amen.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end, but when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you, I'll find you, I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle, I feel like I ain't come prepared. And death's knocking on the front door, pain's creeping through the back. Fears falling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters, but tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face, I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face, they don't understand what I'm going through.
The world trying to play with my soul, I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way, I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own, that's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go, and I don't know what else to do.
Fight a little longer, my friend. worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Hold on.
They say fear haunts and pain hates. I say pain strengthens and fear drives faith. And I don't know all of the outcomes. Don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom. I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settled for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need. Tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world tryna play with my soul. I'm just tryna find where to go. I'm tryna remember the way. I'm tryna get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go. And I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel.
Good morning and happy Saturday. God bless you all. I'm so grateful to be here, grateful that God saw fit to wake us up this morning and allow us to gather together virtually. I want to thank and acknowledge Pastor Overall. Thank you so much for allowing me and trusting me with this opportunity to come before your church, Running for Christ Ministries, as well as the listeners of Blog Talk Radio, Lady Sheila, deacons, associate ministers, members, friends, and listeners all over the world. I greet you in the name of Jesus. And I just want to say, I don't know what else left to say. I think Deacon Tate, Nedra, Sarah, they've covered everything. So whatever comes out of my mouth is a little extra. I just want to acknowledge Deacon Tate. I'm so grateful that that voice, the wisdom, the peace, and the comfort from your voice, I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you. And for that word, the great reward, I appreciate that. We appreciate it. And Nedra has a voice that she should be an anchor woman or something. That voice is just amazing, the way she articulates her words and that prayer, her message. Thank you. And Sarah, thank you. And Nedra and Sarah, I just appreciate the purity and the sincerity that I hear in your voices. It's just sweet to me. It's like when the Bible talks about the sweet aroma, that's what your voices radiate. And I thank you for that because I could just feel the sincerity. I feel the authenticity. And the purity in your words, in your voice, and I know that is coming from your heart. So thank you. Kathy, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Kathy, for being such a faithful presider and for having that energy that you bring us, that you're like our hype girl, consistently our hype girl. And I'm sure whether you're having a good day or bad day, we would never know because you always bring that consistent good energy regardless of what kind of day you're having. So we never know. For all we know, every day is a good day, and every day is a good day. But I know we all have our challenges, but it does not come through your voice. So thank you for bringing us that energy, because you lift us. You keep us lifted, and we need that. And I know it takes a lot because the lifter needs to be lifted as well. So thank you for what you do. Now, if you would, go with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And this is a familiar story. And as I was studying it, I was just trying to see how can I narrow it down. I just should pull out two or three verses and kind of narrow it down. But I couldn't do it. So you have to bear with me. We got 19 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm going to just go ahead and read the whole story, verses 1 through 19, because I didn't want to pick it apart. And then we'll go through it. And like I said, it is familiar, but like Deacon Tate said, every time we go to something in the Word, we get something new out of it. And I hope that today there's even more revelation that you get out of this passage in 1 Samuel. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. We know it's very familiar. We've heard the story time and time again, but I pray that God will give you new revelation, that he will shed new light on a very familiar passage. But before I do that, let us have a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to hear you. And, Lord, don't let them hear Janine, because Janine will mess up. Lord, we need you. Lord, use this voice, use this vessel to bring explanation and revelation to your people, Lord, that we might walk and talk differently, that we might be kinder, that we might be people who make better choices in life, that our attitudes may change for the better. Lord, just help us through this word, and we're just asking for your revelation, that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, just help us, guide us, lead us, teach us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, I'm reading the Modern English Version, 1 Samuel. And if I mispronounce some of these complicated words in the first couple verses, just don't mind me. Now, there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim in the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Amorite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the second was Peninnah. Now, Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city annually to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And there were two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. They were priests to the Lord. And the day they came that Elkanah sacrificed, he gave portions to Peninnah, his wife, and all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Now her rival provoked her greatly, making her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Thus it was yearly when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. So Hannah wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? And why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, he was sitting on the seat by the door of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was bitter, and she prayed to the Lord, and she wept severely. So she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give to your maidservant a baby boy, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And as she was praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah was speaking in her heart. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrow. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your handmaiden to be a sinful woman, for out of the abundance of my concern and provocation, I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your request that you have asked of him. Let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was not sad as before. They rose up in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and they returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came to pass that Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now, I know that was a lot. That was a lot to take in. But I just wanted to give you the whole story, the full picture. And then I want to talk about today endurance and answered prayer. Endurance and answered prayer. A resilient spirit is born when God makes you wait. And there's so much to unpack here, but today I'm going to try to focus on the endurance that Hannah had and how her prayer was answered. And then we'll touch on some other notable occurrences that took place in this passage. And what I like about Bible stories is that how it connects us through shared experience. Now, even though we weren't there at that time, but because we, you know, by reading about it, we can share that experience with them as if we were there, because we're on the outside looking in. They kind of give us a peek into the situation, into what happened, and then that connects us. And through that connection, I want to pull out some life application so we can take their experience and learn from it and apply it to our own lives. Now, in the grand scheme of this story, a desperate temple visit leads to the birth of one of Israel's greatest prophets. So let's take a look at how all this transpires. We have Elkanah with two wives. Now, to me, from my reading, it seems like whenever I read about a man having two women or two wives in the Bible, there's a problem. Ask Abraham. We could probably ask Jacob, too, because Leah had to feel some type of way knowing that she was not his first choice. I have no biblical evidence of this, but I would imagine that you wouldn't feel great knowing that you were not the one who was loved, but you're just kind of being tolerated. So now you've got this tension between these two women because one is loved and one isn't really loved. Now, every year they go to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice. They've been doing this every year for a while. Elkanah, he gives both wives portions, but he gives Hannah a double portion. So I wonder how that made Peninnah feel. Now, let me tell you what I see here so far. I see two women who are jealous of each other. However, they have two completely different reactions to their jealousy. Peninnah, she lashes out by being mean and teasing Hannah for being barren. So Peninnah is jealous of the way Elkanah loves Hannah. So that bothers her. So she lashes out by being mean and by teasing her and provoking her. Now Hannah, she reacts with depression and despondency. Both women here are miserable, because only a miserable person would take time out of their lives to torment another person. Peninnah was doing. And it wouldn't even occur to a happy person to be this mean to someone else. Hannah goes into a deep depression and she stops eating. So you got two different reactions from the same feeling, the feeling of hurt and pain. So even though Penina has something that Hannah wants, which was children, Hannah has something Penina wants, which was the affection and favor of their husband. So it's an example of no one is ever satisfied. People not knowing how to be grateful and happy for what they have. They both had something, but they didn't want what they had. They wanted what the other woman had. It wasn't what they wanted. And you probably know people like this, people who are just upset or they dislike each other because they're jealous of each other. Sometimes we see it with curly hair versus straight hair. I wish my hair was straight. I wish my hair was curly. And they go back and forth envying, admiring each other's hair. And it's okay to admire other people's, you know, what they have, but don't envy it. Don't wish it was yours. And don't get mad because that God gave it to them and not you. The slim versus heavy. Oh, I wish I could gain a little more weight. Oh, I wish I could lose weight. And they almost wish problems. And even if we did have the ability to swap problems, we would find another reason to be upset. We are never really happy. When it's summer, we want it to be cool. When we're cold, we want it to be warm. And we constantly find ourselves in the state of, this isn't what I want. I want that. I want what she has. And so that leads to misery when we cannot find a way to appreciate what we have and to trust what God has given us in life, to trust that where I am is where I'm supposed to be. Now, my definition of jealousy is this. It's like telling God that what he gave you isn't good enough, that you'd rather have what the other person has, and you don't trust God's method of distribution. Now, verse 5 reminds us that although Hannah got a double portion, it was heavy on the lovey-dovey, the Lord had closed her womb. I just wish I could have seen Hannah's facial expression when Elkanah, her husband, asked her, Hannah, why are you weeping? And why aren't you eating? Why are you grieved? Aren't I better to you than 10 sons? I don't know how she looked at him, but I'm just imagining how I would look at him if he said, if that was said to me. Now, have you ever had someone to try to minimize your pain and try to make it invalid? Like they didn't understand your sadness or your anger. So they look for things to point out to tell you why you shouldn't feel that way. When people are hurting, one thing that helps the healing process is to validate their feelings. Even if someone says they're sad, believe them. You may not understand it. It may not even make sense to you, but it doesn't make their pain less real or any less hurtful. So we have to learn to meet people where they are and walk them out of it, walk with them. And then when we're walking with them, we find ways to pull them out of it. And that's how it's done in counseling. We don't leave them there. The goal is to walk with them and lead them out of a sunken and hurtful place. But we cannot deny that the hurt exists or try to convince them that they shouldn't be hurt or that the pain shouldn't exist just because we don't understand it or cannot fathom it. So Elkanah doesn't get it, and he feels like his love should fill the void of her childlessness. And whether he's wrong or right, doesn't matter. It's just what matters in this case is how she feels about it. Why would God close her womb, though? Why does God allow anything unfavorable to happen? It could be for a lot of reasons. You know, his ways are higher than our ways. It could be to build character for something else that we're going to encounter in the future. We don't always know. It could be that God has a different plan for us. We may not be following a common path. We could be on a special assignment. It could be to teach us something or to teach someone around us something. And usually it's not even about us. And instead of focusing on self, we need to learn how to focus more on God's will and be grateful in the meantime and count it all joy and trust God. Because both of the women had something that was good, but it just wasn't their good of choice. And so they were kind of mad at each other for what the other had. Now, endurance. And I want to focus on endurance because she had, Peninnah had endurance. She had gone through this for years. Hannah was the first wife. So she had to sit back and watch Peninnah have child after child while she kept coming up empty. There's no mention of Hannah even doing anything to deserve this. And we read in the scripture where she told the priest that she wasn't a sinful woman. It's just something that happened that way. And imagine the feeling of watching someone have something that you want. And if that's not bad enough to watch them enjoy what you wish you had, they turn around and tease you for not having it. And that's insult on top of injury. And Hannah, it got so deep, she went on a hunger strike or lost her appetite. Either way, she kind of quit eating. She even, really, I think she lost her appetite for life. Like, she was just ready to give up. But before she gave up, she just decided to go pray. And I'm so glad that she did. Now, have you ever gone through something that just seemed to drag on and on, and you didn't necessarily bring it on yourself? It's one thing when you know that you've done what you're going through is a consequence of your own mistake or choices, but when things go wrong, when you've done everything right, that gnaws at you mentally, and your faith gets tested. And you might do like Hannah and mentally check out. And she prayed out of desperation. So she went to the house of the Lord. At least she knew what to do when it got to her breaking point. And that's what she had done. She had reached her breaking point. Now, Hannah, she's one of several biblical women that we read about who asked, or rather begged God for some relief from their apparent inability to conceive a child. Her despair was deep. And for some of us, you know, it may not necessarily be us trying to have a baby. It could be anything that we're trying to produce. So this barrenness represents our barrenness just in life, not just childbearing, but the success that we want, the wealth that we want, our hopes and dreams, a business, executing a plan, resources, ideas, favor, those kind of things. Those could represent the things that we carry in us. This is a reflection of how important childbearing was to the identity and the status of women in the ancient world. And Hannah's pain, of course, is escalated by the fact that she was teased about it by Peninnah. She rubbed it in and shamed her. And I don't want us to focus on the barrenness as it relates to childbearing, but it's just making the comparison. And now in today's age, people want to be successful or have some sort of fruit in their lives to show that they've been victorious in some areas. Think about the dreams that haven't come true, the money that you haven't made yet, the book that you've yet to write, the business plan that you've yet to execute, the children you have yet to launch into independence, the things you feel unsuccessful at, or your failures, your lack, your shortcomings, the things that keep you up at night, the things that bring you to tears, and the things that make you lose your appetite, those kind of things. And we may not be dealing with the inability to conceive a child, but the inability to do other things that we wish we could do. A lot of us have goals and dreams and ideas that we want to implement. And for one reason or another, we haven't been able to implement, or even if we did implement it, it just seems to flop. Like, I put my all into this. I put my savings into this. I took everything. I put my heart and soul, my blood, sweat, and tears into this thing, and it just didn't amount to anything. And over time, when that keeps happening and you feel like nothing in your life is working out, nothing's going forward, you line all your ducks up in a row, everything, you did everything the way the blueprint told you to do it. You followed all the instructions to a T, and then nothing. just nothing. And then you watch this other person who barely put forth any effort, and they get all the success that you wish you had after you done stayed up at night, lost sleep, lost money, and everything, couldn't do it. And then they turn around and do it with ease. They weren't even really trying, and that blessing just kind of popped them in the head, and they got it, and you've been working for it, and you feel like, well, I deserve that. I earned that. I worked for that. Why didn't I get it? Why did they get it? I can't answer that for you. But one thing I can tell you is that I trust God. I trust his way. And I've lived long enough to realize that I cannot compare myself to another person. I'm never going to figure out why God allowed one person's plan to go off flawlessly while my plan just seems to run into every bump, every glitch that's imaginable, even the ones that are not imaginable, can pop up and be a hindrance to your pursuit. I don't know, but I do know that over time, when things don't work out after we tried and tried and tried and gave it our all, it wears you out, especially when you don't know what you've done wrong or you don't know why it's not working out. And I imagine that this is how Hannah felt. This, for years, like, her only dream, like, I'm sure she appreciated his love and she probably loved him back, but she wanted more than that. She wanted more. That desire was just in her. So in her despair, she goes to the temple and she prays to God for relief, promising God that if he grants her a son, that she would dedicate him to God as a Nazarite until the day of his death. So she has committed the son's life to the Lord. She said, he shall drink no wine, no intoxicants, and a razor shall not touch his head. Now, what I want to point out here is how Hannah, she made a deal with God. And I know some people will frown on that, like, you know, don't make a deal with God, da-da-da-da. But in her case, though, she made a deal with God, and it worked out. My thing is, if you're going to make a deal with God, you better stick to it. Don't make deals with God, and you know you can't hold up your end. Or when things get hard, you try to back out and say, oh, well, never mind, God, I'm not, you know. Don't back out. Don't make a deal with God that you can't keep. And I think that's the key there, that if you decide that you're going to be big and bad enough to make a deal with God, make sure that it's something you're going to be able to stick to, because you're creating a covenant with God, and you don't want to break that. So before you get into the deal making, you know, be very careful, very mindful. But Hannah, she made that deal with God, and she meant it. Now, in that whole process, while she was praying with such intensity, and this intensity reflected the depth of her pain. Now, Eli, the high priest, he saw her weeping, and he saw that nothing, her lips were moving, but nothing was coming out, or he couldn't understand it, and so he thought she was drunk. And I don't know if you've ever been in that much pain where you prayed like that, where you prayed like a crazy-looking prayer, and maybe you were able to do it in your closet or at home or in your car or in the shower and nobody saw you, where you just like, where you just lost it because you got lost in your prayer, you got lost in your pain, and you're pouring out your heart, and you get so deep into it that you forget, you know, you don't even care what you look like. Your lips are shaking, and that's some deep, deep, deep pain. Has your lip ever quivered? Have you ever been that hurt when you cried that your lip was literally shaking in pain? And I would imagine that's the kind of pain that Hannah was in. She was just tired of it. She was done. She was sick of it. I'm tired of this girl teasing me. I'm doing the best I can. And she rubs it in my face that she has what I want. And even though I think Hannah, I don't even think she realized that this envy was mutual. I don't even think she realized that Peninnah really wanted what she had. All she saw was that I don't have what I want. And that was, she couldn't really see beyond that. And it hurt her to her core. So she's praying. And then the priest Eli witnesses her praying. And, of course, she's misunderstood. And if some of us, if somebody saw us the way we were looking when we prayed that one prayer, they would have thought we were crazy or something was wrong or we were on some stuff. I don't know. But she just happened to be in a public place. I'm sure she didn't think anybody was around. She may not have even cared at that point because that's how much she was hurting. But she was misunderstood, and we're going to be misunderstood sometimes. People are going to see us doing some things, and they don't know the whole story. They don't know why we're doing it. So then they're going to make judgments based on what they see. And sometimes you'll have the opportunity to explain yourself, and sometimes you won't. But in Hannah's case, she did have the opportunity to respond with an explanation. It says, but when Hannah explains her plight, she said, I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. And then he believed her immediately, and he told her to go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition that you've made to him. And when he, you know, accused her of being drunk, she didn't get defensive. She didn't get mad. She, you know, sometimes you get so, you're so broken, you just turn real humble. And you're not trying to argue with anybody. You're not feeling offended because you were misunderstood. She had the most humble spirit, and she just explained herself, and he received it. And he told her to go in peace. He blessed her. So Hannah, who was once without child, she gives birth to a son whom she named Samuel, meaning heard by God. She later brings the boy to Eli, reminds him of their earlier meeting, and tells him, I have lent Samuel to the Lord for as long as he lives, and he's given to the Lord. And Samuel, he was conceived through his mother's devotion to God, and he would go on to become one of the greatest prophets and leaders of Israel. And I thank God, I'm so glad that Samuel was okay with this promise that his mother had made on his behalf. What if Samuel had his own mind and own ideas? But he didn't, and we thank God for that, that he was on board. He had been groomed for the role to be one of the last judges before they went into having the kings. Now, the Lord, he took note of Hannah when she was praying, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. And Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord, and he has brothers and sisters. So God really, he had redeemed Hannah, who once had no children. Now she's got her children. The Bible doesn't give us any follow-up on Peninnah and, you know, her feelings, and or has she changed, or had Elkanah started to give her more attention. I don't know. But the focus here is us going through our endurance and going to God, taking it to the throne, asking God to help us. And I don't know what she even prayed, because no words came out. And sometimes we don't know what to say in our prayer. When we're so hurt, there's no words that can even describe how we feel or what we want. And sometimes we don't even know what we want. All we know is that we're hurting and we need help. And I think that's the place where Hannah was, where she, all she could do was just, I don't know if she was groaning, but her mouth was moving, but she was just hurt. There was just no words to explain. And that just goes to show that God, he knows our heart. Sometimes when we can't really tell him what we want, because we don't even know half the time what we want. But she went to him. She went to plead her case and to ask for help. And I think that demonstration of faith, that's what moved God. Now, this teaches us we need to wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. We have to learn how to wait on the Lord. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And if we endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there is a reward in that. There's a special kind of spiritual power that stands for us who are unwavering in the face of reoccurring disappointment and the enemy's taunts. We can release the cry of the barren, pray in faith, and get God's attention. And we need to learn how to overcome jealousy, rejection, temptation to compromise, and having critical spirits and dealing with shame. We can find healing and purity of heart. We need to get the right perspective of God's sovereignty. The sovereignty of God just means that he's in control of everything. Even when if God won't allow me to produce, I have to trust that God has a reason for that. Even when I don't know the reason or understand the reason, I'm trusting the sovereignty and the providence of God, and I need to find the strength to persevere and to endure. And we can unlock overflow by going to God, by trusting him, and we can see the promises of God in our lives and in the generations that come through us. Now, we can birth our dream, our purpose, our destiny, the thing that God has put in your heart that could do the thing that, it could be the thing that changes the world. You know, whether it's the book you write that could speak to people's hearts, change lives, it could be a business that you start, it could be an organization that you start that's going to teach people and help people change lives. And ideas that you give people, we may be able to heal people, cure people, and other innovations that need to be developed. Barrenness, of course, as I said, is just not about the inability to birth a child. We want to give birth to purpose and destiny. We want to make a difference in lives, and we want to bring souls to Christ. We are anointed to be fruitful, apply in all areas of life. And so many of us carry within us the answers that people are crying out for. And in Hannah's time, you know, people were in a spiritual drought. They hadn't heard from God for a long time. And Hannah, she was desperate to bring forth a son. And little did she know that while she was praying for her own desires to be fulfilled, God was preparing her to birth a man who would start a prophetic movement that would change the world, and would be a connected force that would bring God's people back into fellowship with him. Now, the people of God, the answer to your prayers is coming. Do not relent. Resist discouragement and distraction. Be resilient in the face of setbacks and failure. Do not be afraid to try again and again. The season of barrenness you are experiencing is not what it may appear to be on the surface. God will answer, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, and you will see the fruit of your labor. Hannah made a vow to God that unlocked an overflow of multiplication and increase. She shifted her focus from herself, and she used her anguish to persevere until her barrenness was broken. So we have to endure. We have to persevere. And Hannah, she was the picture of what happens when a person pours out their heart to God. And we can release a cry of desperation that will release miracles. And this grace will require endurance. And that's our ability to stay focused on the promise of God for our lives. This is the key to breaking through seasons when the Lord shuts down production in our lives. And sometimes God does have to do that, even with the shutdown recently with COVID, and as hard as that was, as difficult as it was, I just think it was necessary. And I'm so sorry for, you know, the lives that were lost and all the loss and trauma that we experienced during that time. However, there was some change, and there's still changes happening that were necessary. And change, of course, is scary because we don't know what change is going to bring. We don't know if it's going to be good or bad, but we have to know that if we're serving the Lord and we're connected to God, no matter what changes come, he's always going to work it in our favor. The changes, we just needed like a reset, a break, a sabbatical. We had to stop for a moment because people, we were kind of going at a breakneck speed. People were not resting. People had anxiety. I mean, they still do. But some people were able to catch up on rest. They were able to take a look at their own lives. reevaluate what they're doing, their situations, and what they want the future to look like. And sometimes we would stay so busy that we couldn't even stop and take a moment to even think about the future or what we wanted for the future for our families and for our ministries and for the kingdom. Now, prayer. Hannah, she persisted in prayer. She returned to the temple year after year. She found strength and validation in the house of the Lord. She persisted in maintaining three important postures for breakthrough. It was resistance, relentlessness, and resilience. And because they went to Shiloh every year, you know, when she finally got to her breaking point, she knew where to go. And if you find yourself having to endure, remember those scriptures that encourage you. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Remind yourself that there is hope. And remind yourself that God loves you. He's still on the throne looking high, sitting high and looking low, and that he is there for you. He wants to answer your prayer. When things seem to be long and drawn out, instead of and flipping out, just trust God's sovereignty. Just be still and know that he is God. And when we go to him, he'll either change our situation or change our perspective, one or the other. But either way, he's going to bless us. Now, the Bible does remind us how God does answer prayer, even when, you know, we don't know how he's going to answer it, if he's going to answer the way we expect or if he has a better way. Now, there's one key difference between Hannah's time and ours. Hannah had to go to the priest. She had to go to Eli. Eli was the one who told her to go in peace, and he stood as a mediator between her and God. But we don't need a mediator. We have Jesus. When he died on the cross, that veil was torn from top to bottom. When he died on the cross, we got direct access to the throne. So we can go to God through Jesus Christ and pray whatever we need, whatever we're struggling with, whatever we need help with, whatever we need God to do, we can go straight to him wherever we are. Right now, we can't always make it to a church. We may have to do it in our living room, in the car, in the bathroom, on the floor, at work, in the work bathroom, in the parking lot, wherever. We can go to him, just call on him, or we may even just sit there moving our mouth, crying, looking crazy, but praying, looking drunk, where people who might see us don't know what we're going through or what we're doing. But you got to go to God. Pour your heart out to him in your deepest despair. Just pray to him. Reach out to him. He is faithful. He is so faithful. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said that if we have the faith and not doubt, that if we speak to those mountains, they will be removed and thrown into the sea. We have to stand on that. And the takeaway here today, if you've been enduring, just don't miss this lesson. Focus on gratitude. Don't lose your praise or your worship. Even if you're sad, do the sacrifice of praise. That's why I didn't understand before what the sacrifice of praise is. Sacrifice, I remember, I remember when my son was in the hospital and they couldn't tell me anything positive, basically told me my son was dying and preparing me, like asking for funeral and all that kind of thing for my two-year-old. I was terribly sad, and I can't even describe that feeling, but I know when it was Sunday and I knew they were having, worship in the chapel at the hospital, and I went there. And I praised God. I worshiped and I praised him even during that. And that's what helped me understand, wow, now this must be when it says the sacrifice of praise, when praise feels like a sacrifice, when everything in you wants to just fall out and give up and cry. But you dig so deep to find that praise, to find that worship, to worship the Lord for who he is and to thank him. And I had to find a place where if all I get is 2 years with my child, thank you, Lord, for these 2 years. Thank you. Thank you for the 2 years. So I had to shift my whole focus the way I saw everything and had to praise. And that praise was real because I knew the Lord. Even though this painful thing was happening to me, I had to look beyond that and continue to stay in that worship mode and recognize God for who he was. And that's what we need to do when we still have to praise him anyhow. I don't care what's going on because he's still God. Whether God had taken my son or not, I had to find that place to be thankful. Lord, however you choose to handle this situation, Lord, I thank you. Take it to God. Stay in God's faith. And when you're in God's faith, when you're connected to God, you cannot fail. Trust his sovereignty and his providence. He orders your steps. Be still and know he's God. Pray, and now go in peace. God bless you.
Lord, have mercy. Wow, what an amazing message. But we're not surprised because, Janine, you are absolutely amazing. One of the biggest things that our young people need to know and understand is the power of God. You know, when we're kids, we are dependent upon our parents, and, you know, we look to our parents as being the highest things in our lives because they provide for us and they give us what we need and they do things for us and take us places and, you know, all of that other stuff. But as we get older, we cannot still function, even though we're, you know, we're talking, this is Youth Saturday, so we're speaking to, you know, young kids and teenagers and even the you know, you're 19, 20, 21, you think you're grown, but you're really not. You're still a whole kid. And so once we get to that age, it's like we have to know that our parents, yes, while they're here, they're not our gods to us. And so you bringing up how, you know, jealousy and envy and how we, you know, want things that people have. And we have to realize that we have to teach our children to go to God for everything that they need. It is so important that our children know that a relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that they need because everything that they get comes from the Lord. And so you said so, so much today. This message is so worthy of a download and a re-listen and a re-listen and a consistent listening to because it's so true. We are all one of a kind. We are all a masterpiece of Jesus Christ. And so for our young people, know that you are enough. Know that you don't have to be or look like or act like anyone else, but be who God wants you to be because you are the only one that he created to be just like who you are. So thank you, Janine, for the message. It was absolutely amazing as always. And so we know Pastor's going to come back and bring you back after I do my announcements very quickly. So once again, we just want to say thank you. Amen. Good morning, y'all. It's Saturday. It's the last Saturday of January already. So just a couple of announcements for you. Sunday, January 30th, which is tomorrow, we will hold our in-person worship service. Service begins at 10 a.m. with our amazing praise team leading us in song and worship. The preached word will be brought to us by Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. So, of course, you're welcome to join us. All that we ask is that you wear a mask, you know, when you come into the sanctuary. And if you don't have one, no worries. We will provide you one at no cost. Of course, amen. You can also listen to our service if you're not able to come in person. You can listen to our services on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rfcm.org and clicking on recorded Sunday services. Amen. Also, don't forget every Sunday, 4 p.m., our very own speaker, Kathy Clyburn, is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. Please visit our Christian resources page on our church website, rfcm.org, for more info on calling in or logging in to her show. Amen. Don't forget, Bible teacher training class is on Mondays at 7 p.m. with Assistant Pastor Janice Tate as our teacher. Also, don't forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class. Yours truly, that's me, Deaconess Crystal, will be teaching from the book of Psalm, chapters 76 to 80. So the questions are available online at rfcm.org, of course, our church website. Click on Bible classes, and they will also be on the back table on Sunday. And we know that Pastor has emailed those questions as well, if that's how you need to access them. Amen. Let's see. Every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies' Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Amen. So for more info on that, click on Christian Resources on our church website, rfcm.org. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for that. Amen. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit our church website again, rfcm.org, and click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give a love offering to the preacher who brought the amazing word today, Pastor Janine Folks, please remember to specify their name when you give your offering, and we will see to it that they receive it accordingly. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with them. Amen. Just want to remember to pray for Brother Tyrone Hamilton. Remember to pray for our mothers on the move at Runner for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Also, please continue to pray for all of the bereaved families everywhere. Amen. So we only had a couple birthdays this month, but we want to say happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who celebrated this month, this past week, or who are closing out our month with the final Saturday in January. So happy birthday to Pen Pal, Baby House Girl, Sheila Overall. She celebrated on January the 4th, our beautiful Mother Irma. Also celebrating on January 4th, and Doris Gaither will be closing out the month celebrating her birthday on January 30th. So much love to all of you, and happy, happy birthday. Amen. So your devotional for today, Conquering Giants to Fulfill Your Dreams, and this is by Pastor Rick Warren. Everyone assembled here will know what the Lord, will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. Before King David faced Goliath in 1 Samuel, he had to fight four other giants. They weren't physical giants, but they were giants in his mind. You are far more likely to face mental giants than a physical Goliath, but mental giants can be just as big and intimidating. And they can keep you from becoming who God wants you to be and fulfilling the dream that God has put in your heart. The first giant in facing your dream is delay. No dream is fulfilled instantly. God gives you the dream one day, but he doesn't fulfill it the next day. It may be years before you see the fulfillment of your life dream. There is always a waiting period. After the prophet Samuel anointed David as king, David's father Jesse told David to get back to tending the sheep. Talk about a delayed dream. It was about 15 years before David actually became king. But God used that time to build David's character, teaching him to be obedient, even when things didn't seem to make sense. As David waited for God to fulfill his promise, he learned to trust in God's sovereignty. The lesson is that God is faithful, and he will complete his work in you in his time. The second giant you may face is discouragement. Goliath created a climate of fear in Israel. Everyone was convinced they were going to lose the battle against him. What people are you listening to that say it can't be done? Who is putting down your dream, saying it won't ever happen? Sometimes you just need a fresh voice, like a shepherd boy with fresh eyes who says, "This guy is nothing. We can take him down." The third giant standing in your way is disapproval. In David's case, his own brother questioned his motives and disapproved of him going after Goliath. When God gives you a dream that other people are afraid of and you go for it anyway, you will be misjudged, maligned, and misunderstood. You have to decide what matters more to you, the approval of other people or the approval of God. And the fourth giant you may have to face is doubt. Nobody was a greater expert on war than King Saul. He told David he was crazy for thinking a boy could fight a warrior like Goliath. Maybe an expert is saying to you that you can't do it either. And that's enough to make you start doubting yourself. Remember, experts are often wrong too. You won't be deterred by the naysayers when you focus on God's promises and trust that the Lord is faithful to fulfill your dream. Amen. So I want to say to our youth, never give up, never give in. Stand strong on the word of God and let the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you more than you will ever know, guide your steps, give you direction, give you discernment, and light your path. Psalm 37:4 says to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So remember, he's got you in the palm of his hands and has the power to make all of your dreams come true. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
That's why you in that lane, baby. Yeah, baby Holy Ghost say, Crystal, say what to do. I'm like, please, that's her lane. Tell her what to do.
Yes, I'm like,
man,
to stay in my
she
lane.
Know what to do. You know, it is amazing. The song that I played before Janine preached, of course, me and Jesus got into it over that because it was, you know, Lecrae, I think it's Tori Kelly, you know, featured
mm-hmm.
there. And I'm like,
song.
Jesus, how do I know what she's going to preach? And then I
mm-hmm.
prayed the song, Wait a Little Longer, My Friend, It All Comes
mm-hmm.
Out.
mm-hmm.
I say, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know what?
Perfect.
I know we only been together since 75. But one of these days, I'm going to listen to you the first time.
Yes. Hello. Okay. That's
know,
all right. He
but,
know we a hot mess. It's okay.
I'm telling you, you're a boiling mess. See, I knew he was going to
yes.
upgrade my mess. You're a boiling mess.
Of course.
Lord have mercy.
That's all right. We are boiling over in mess anyway.
I can't be a regular. I'm a boiling mess.
No, we all
a upgrade
hot
mess.
I'm a hot off the press mess. I'm always hot off the press. Remember back in the hot off the press mess. That would be me.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't feel
I'm
bad.
Telling you. That's why we all around each other. Oh,
yes,
know,
Lord.
Okay.
There
ain't
okay.
no crab barrel here. We all the
That's
bad
right.
crabs.
That's right. You got it.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you so
You're
much.
Welcome.
Make my life
absolutely
so much easier.
I'm
Thank
so glad.
You for
Amen.
Absolutely following the Holy Spirit and coming up with a devotional. That was just
Amen.
Like icing on the cake, and that's some awesome
Amen.
Stuff right there.
Amen.
And that's why
Amen.
That's your lane, see?
Hello, because I really did not struggle. I'm like, Jesus, you ain't gave me my devotional yet. Where is that? Where is that? And I literally did not see it until I started hearing Janine preach. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I went back to it because I had initially read it. And I was like, no. And then sure enough, there it was. And it speaks directly to what she talked about and to our youth, because it's really important that we continue to encourage them and for them to know that even when everything else might look like it's going wrong, God is always right.
Lord have mercy. Girl, you're going to walk yourself
mic.
Into
mute,
the
mute
bullshit.
Mute my mic. Hello. Mute my
mic,
boss.
You keep that up. You go, you're going to be pretty. Jesus be like, sound like a sermon
oh.
to me. Hey,
oh, God. No.
All right, Crystal, love you.
All
Stay
right,
blessed.
Love you too.
Tell
you
me
too.
And we say what's up.
I sure will. Thank you.
Hey, man, let me get the preacher back in here. She always get everybody all twisted up, excited. Thank you, Janine, for that word. Thank you for allowing the Lord to have his way. And thank you for, I know you was fussing with Jesus. Jesus, that's too much to read. That's going to be my whole time.
Right.
And I'm over here fussing with him about, Lord, I can't play this song. This is rap. She finna preach. And he like, well, you don't know what she finna preach. I know. Okay, Jesus, if it mess up, it's your fault. And so I played it. And it turns out he was right, like always.
Yes, because I was jamming when that was playing. I liked it.
I say, well, Jesus, she a roller skater. She probably in the living room.
Yes, I was. I was hyped.
Janine, thank you so much for letting God have his way. And thank you for being such a blessing to Run for Christ Ministries and to me. Thanks for coming alongside and helping me to do what Jesus called me to do at Run for Christ Ministries. That's some good pastoring right there. That you know, I love that. They've heard me talk about Hannah and Penina a lot because, you know, she was tore up from the floor up and couldn't eat and sleep. But after she got a word from the Lord, I love it how it reads, she went home and she went to eat, and you know she went to sleep, even before Samuel happened or the other kids happened. She trusted. She got up off her knees in faith, and that faith brought comfort. And that gave her what she needed to endure until she finally, and I would love to have seen Penina's face after one, two, three. Plus I got his love. What?
See,
like, ooh, Jesus, that was some. That was a comeback. That was a comeback right there, because God blessed her, validated her, and even though she was probably not the kind of spirit that would hold, that would act like Penina, okay?
Right.
But it said it by itself. I got his love, and now I got his kids, and one of them going to change the world. And the whole world going to know him from now till 2022. That's I'm preaching. Anyway, Janine, thank you.
Yes.
Give us some words and a prayer, and we'll be all right.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for listening. Y'all actually overhearing me and God, you know, overhearing God talking to me. And I kind of let you in on it, just sharing with my own things that I need to hear from him. So I guess we all, some of these things are just universal. We, you know, we all need it. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to hear, Lord, and to just get a different perspective on your word. And that story, we can hear it hundreds of times. And just having a different perspective on the same story just shows us, Lord, how manifold you are, like how broad you are, and how we can see things in so many different ways. The same story, but we different people, be, you know, based on our life experiences and worldview, we're going to pick something up different. And the next time somebody talks about that story, they're going to pick something else up or focus on a different thing. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord, for the variety, Lord, the variety of gifts that you have given us and all the gifts that have been shared today. Lord, the voices that you've used, the Deacon Tate, Nedra, Sarah, Kathy, Lord, I thank you for those voices that collectively we could be a blessing to your body and Pastor Overall. Lord, just thank you. Lord, bless everyone who heard the word today. Lord, as we go forth, I'm praying for protection, Lord, provision, Lord, that you would give us wisdom to make great decisions so that we can be effective in the kingdom, that we can make a real felt difference in this world, Lord, that you would make our way prosperous, Lord, and that we will lift you up. And as we lift you up, Lord, that people will be drawn to you because of the way that we lift you. And help us to lift you properly and to walk worthy of this calling, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Janine.
Mm-hmm.
And give everybody around the house the hug, especially the little one, already on the skate. That's how you know she a folks. When you put on the skates and she didn't fall but started skating, she a folks. Amen. Praise God. Stay blessed, Janine.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for Pastor Folks and for bringing us that word, y'all. And please don't forget this word. Amen. Endurance and answered prayers. Endurance leads to answered prayers. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Don't give up on him. Wait on him. He's building you up, as Crystal read in the devotion. He's getting you prepared for what he's about to do. Do you think Hannah just wanted a child that she could offer up to the Lord? But did you think she was going to get a Samuel, prophet, judge, priest? Hey, man, last of the judges, served as a prophet, and stood in between Israel and God. That's something. Amen. I often think of Martin Luther King's mother and the times that she was born into, him and his father. Her and her husband. Now, in those times that they were born into, do you think when that baby was born, when she looked down at that baby, did she know she had a Martin? Amen. God gives us hope. He does that over and over and over. And our hard times are just his preparation times for the rest of our good times. Amen. God bless you. Again, want to thank Nedra. Want to thank Sarah. Want to thank Kathy. Can't thank Kathy enough. We work together on a lot of stuff. Amen. A lot of stuff. So I cannot thank her enough. She keeps me busy. We keep each other busy. Amen. But I thank God that I get these people who come alongside me to help me do what Jesus wants to do at Running for Christ Ministries. Amen. On this show, Kathy's show this Sunday on Bring Back the Family, she's going to have two special guests, Jonathan, Pastor Jonathan Tate, and Deaconess June Rogers. They're going to have a roundtable discussion, and we'll be able to get in it on the end. So don't forget to tune in this Sunday at 4 o'clock. Now, if it tells you something about this number is this, that, or the other, just log in, and then you can conversate through the chat room, okay, because the chat room will be open, and you can ask your question or make your comments right there. If you have any trouble dialing in, just log in. The login info is on her website. Just go to, I think it's bringbackthefamily.us. Amen. So, I mean, I got it right here. Amen. Bringbackthefamily.us. Amen. Just letters, though. BBTFUS. Amen. BBTFUS. Amen. And you can go there and get all the information you need. Or you can go to rfcm.org, click on Christian Resources, click on Bring Back the Family, and that'll get you there too. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we meet again. Remember, pray, but don't worry.
Give me a mountain and I promise to move it. Show me a valley, I'll walk right through it. I ain't worried.
No matter what's thrown at me.
Give me a hurdle, I'll jump right over. Like a game of limbo, I get down low. I ain't worried. Cause I ain't worried, yeah.
No matter what's wrong with me.
If I'm in trouble, you get me in order. Push me out the boat and I'll walk on water. I ain't worried. No, 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 no. Cause I'm worried.